We've been talking about Thanksgiving here over the last several weeks. We're in the Thanksgiving season, and we're celebrating Thanksgiving Day, November 22nd, here in just a few days, 2012. And it's time to give thanks, friends. Would you agree? We don't want to celebrate Thanksgiving, though, just once a year, one day a year, right? We're actually supposed to thank God on a continual basis. We're supposed to practice, as I said last week, thanks living, living with an attitude of thanks, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. And I want you to think for the next couple of minutes about somebody who had a positive impact upon your life. Somebody who had a positive impact upon your life, and how you can write them, maybe send them a text or an email, or write them a note this Thanksgiving season, this Thanksgiving, telling them how much they mean to you. All right? So thanking other human beings that have positively impacted you. Ultimately, we are to thank the Almighty God. You know, God has given us so many blessings. Every great thing you've received in life, from relationships down to the smallest things, such as a cup of coffee or a bus ticket, has been given to you by the Almighty God, and never forget it. So I want us to develop, starting today and throughout the rest of our lives, an attitude of thanksgiving toward God. You've got to make an effort to develop this habit of thanking God. Thinking about one or two things a day that you can thank God for. And when you look at yourself in the mirror in the morning, say, God, I thank you for a brand new day. God, I thank you for a job. God, I thank you for the shelter. God, I thank you for another meal. And God, I thank you most of all for the gift of eternal life by faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you today, Thanksgiving, let me say it again, remember it. Thanksgiving for us as believers in Jesus Christ should not happen only one day a year. We should be giving God thanks every day for something. Is that good news here today? And you know, when things are going well in your life, you've got this great shelter, you've got a roof over your head, you've got meals being provided to you, and things are going well, you've got friends, you're talking to that family member, and you're working and you're producing some income, things are going well, it's easy to give God thanks. Would you agree here today? All right. Today's message is this: when life gets tough, give thanks. When life gets tough, give thanks. And as I said, it's easy to give thanks to God when things are going well. But what about when life gets tough? When life gets tough, what do we do? You know, a lot of times when life gets tough for a lot of people, even believers in Jesus Christ, instead of giving thanks, they do what the bunch in Numbers chapter 14 did. So if you got a Bible, you can turn there. If not, I'll read it to you. Remember, the children of Israel, they were in bondage in the nation of Egypt. And through God's outstretched hand, through a miracle, He delivered them from bondage and slavery in Egypt. He miraculously brought them through the Red Sea, and they ended up in the desert under the leadership of Moses. Now, while they're in the desert, they start doing something that a lot of people are prone to do when life gets tough. All right, Numbers chapter 14, verse 1. It says, that night all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites, verse 2 of Numbers 14, grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if we only had died in Egypt or in this desert, why is the Lord bringing us into this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. It says, Moses and Aaron fell face down, verse 5, in front of the whole assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Verse 10. But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. The Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the miraculous signs I have performed among them? I will strike them down with a plague and destroy them, but I will make you into a nation greater and stronger than they. And so it goes on, and it explains how these Israelites grumbled and complained against God. There's quite a few verses here, and Moses crying out to God asking God not to destroy the people. And it says here in verse 26, if you jump down, the Lord said to Aaron and Moses and Aaron, how long will this wicked community grumble against me? I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say. In this desert, your bodies will fall, every one of you 21 years or more, who is counted in the census and who has grumbled against me. Not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. As for your children that you said would be taken as plunder, I will bring them in to enjoy the land that you have rejected. But you, your bodies will fall in this desert. So, we see that these Israelites are in the desert, right? They're in the desert, and things are not going according to their liking. Things have gotten tough for them. They wish that they were back in Egypt. And what kind of a spirit is that? Wishing that things were another way. Man, I wish things were the way they were at one time. People do that often. You might be doing that today. Maybe you've done that recently. That's kind of a grumbling, complaining, and murmuring attitude. A grumbling and complaining and murmuring attitude. And that's exactly what the children of Israel were doing in Numbers 14. They were complaining and grumbling against the Almighty God. And this is an attitude, this grumbling and complaining against God is an attitude of ingratitude. All right? It's rebellion and it shows lack of faith in God. And so let me ask you this today. When you grumble and you complain, you bicker and you murmur against God, blaming God for the tough situation in your life, what does that attract into your life? When you bicker and complain and murmur against God, saying, God, why did you take this loved one? People do it at times, and maybe you've done it. God, why was this job taken from me? God, why was cancer put upon my loved one? Why did this spouse leave me? God, I can't believe you've done these things to me. Friends, that's a complaining, grumbling, and murmuring attitude. That shows rebellion. That shows lack of faith towards God. And that kind of an attitude, like a magnet, attracts what? It attracts the curse. When you grumble and you complain and you murmur against God, blaming Him for the bad things in your life, it's like slapping God in the face. Slapping God in the face. And God is not obligated to bless anyone who is living in rebellion to Him. And guys, you may have done that at one time in your life. Like I just said. Maybe something was taken from your life. Maybe it was a job. Maybe it was finances. Maybe it was a spouse, a relationship, whatever it might be. Maybe it was a bad health diagnosis. And maybe now you're in depression due to this. And it's sad to say, like I said earlier, a lot of people blame God for these misfortunes. This is an attitude of ingratitude towards God. It's a rebellious attitude. It's an attitude that says, God, I have no faith in you. And this kind of attitude against God will not attract God's turnaround or His miracle into your life. See, when you complain and you murmur and you grumble, I worked at this job for 5 years, 10 years, making $20 an hour, and it was taken from me. God, I can't believe you did this to me. God, I've kept up my diet and my exercise, and I've got this high blood pressure now, or I've got this cancer or this diabetes. God, I can't believe you caused this to happen to me. God, I had this person that I loved in my life, and they left me. Why, God? Why did you do it to me? Friends, God didn't do it to you. God is the author of good. Every good and perfect thing comes from above. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. God is the author of good. Is that making sense here today? God is the author of good. So that grumbling and that complaining attitude against God is a rebellious attitude. It's an ungrateful attitude. It's an attitude that shows lack of faith in God. And to turn it around when things get tough, to turn it around, instead, you've got to do what? To receive the miracle that you're waiting for in your life, instead of grumbling, instead of complaining, instead of murmuring against God, you've got to start giving Him praise and thanks. Is that making sense? Because an attitude of ingratitude and grumbling attracts, like I said earlier, it attracts what? It attracts the curse. Remember, these Israelites were grumbling. And what curse did it attract in their life? Numbers chapter 14. They were grumbling against God. They were bickering. They were complaining. And God says, He says to Moses, "Tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say. In this desert, your bodies will fall. Every one of you 20 years or more who is counted in the census and who has grumbled against me, not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hands to make your home except Caleb and Joshua." These guys were wandering in the desert. They were expecting to enter the promised land. They were supposed to, but they complained and they grumbled and they murmured so much against God that God said what? He says, all of you counted in the census 20 years or more will not enter the land. In other words, they were not going to receive or enter the promised land. Why? Because they grumbled. They were not grateful to God. They were rebellious against God. They didn't have faith in God. And I'm here to tell you today that God has got a promised land for you. I don't know what that promised land is. It might be increased finances. It might be a better job. It may be to get out of that cave of depression. That promised land might be the reconciliation of that broken relationship. God has got a promised land for your life. But if you continue to grumble and complain against God and blame Him every time something goes wrong or blame Him for the misfortune in your life, guess what? You won't enter that promised land that God has got prepared for you. Because grumbling and complaining attracts the curse. It's in Numbers 14. But I want to enter the promised land that God's got for me. How about you? So to turn it around in your life, to receive the miracle that God has got for you, start giving Him praise, start giving Him thanks, even when things are really sour in your life. Even when you're going through a valley and a low time, start praising God. That's what Joshua and Caleb did. Numbers chapter 14, look at what it says. We'll go back and it says this. Numbers 14, verse 6. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." What were Joshua and Caleb saying in essence? They were saying in essence, you know what? We saw that there are giants in the land. We saw that it's tough, and we're going through some tough times right now. But we want to thank God in the midst of it because we know that the God that we serve is able to have us conquer these giants. We know that the God that we serve can bring us successfully into the promised land. Joshua and Caleb, as opposed to the Israelite assembly, had a grateful attitude, an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of submission to God, an attitude that said, "God, we have got faith in you." And an attitude of thanks, an attitude of gratitude is the same way as saying to God, "God, I've got faith in you. God, I know that I know that I know deep down on the inside, even though it seems really bad in my life right now, that you can bring this miracle into my life." And that's what faith is. Faith is knowing that you know deep down on the inside that God can turn it around for you. Is that making sense here today? Joshua and Caleb were of a different spirit. They had a grateful spirit, a thankful spirit, a spirit that praised in the midst of the hardship. And because of this, what does God say towards the end of Numbers 14? He says this. He says, "Not one of you," Numbers 14, 30, "not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun." In other words, God was saying, because they have a thankful attitude, an attitude of faith in me, God was saying, they will enter the promised land. How many here want to enter the promised land that God has got for you? Well, then stop complaining, stop grumbling, stop murmuring against God, stop blaming God for the bad things that have happened in your life. God is not at fault. It's other people's decisions, it's the devil, and it's the world that we're dealing with. Not God. God is good. God is the author of good. God didn't do it to you, that bad thing. He does good. He's got something good in store for you. See, God is not required to bless anybody. God is not required to bless anybody who is complaining against Him. If you're slapping God in the face and saying, God, I've got no faith in you. Just that's like a slap in the face of God. I've got no faith in you. I'm complaining. I'm grumbling. You're to blame. God's not required, obligated to bless that attitude. God blesses a thankful and grateful heart. Is that making sense here tonight? God blesses a thankful and a grateful heart. So, if you lost that job and you lost that income, you say to God, you know what, God, even though I lost this job, even though I lost this income, I'm going to give you praise and thanks regardless because, God, I know that you're able to turn it around for me. Maybe $15 an hour was taken from me, but God, I thank you that you can give me a job making $20 an hour. That's an attitude of thanks in the midst of your hardship, an attitude of faith in the Almighty God. And God honors faith. If there's one thing that God honors, it's what? It's faith. It's faith. God honors faith. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God honors an attitude, a spirit of faith in him. Maybe that relationship was taken from your life and you had developed this relationship for such a long time and you're complaining and grumbling, God, I can't believe it was taken from me. I'm here to tell you today, instead of doing that, start praising God in the midst of it and say, God, you know what? It was taken from me, but God, I believe that you're able to bring even a better one into my life. So I start thanking you and praising you in the midst of this hardship, in the midst of this low point. I'm going to give you praise and thanks. That praise and thanks in the midst of your hardship is showing God that you've got faith in him. And God will honor that faith. Is that making sense here today? I don't know if we have time, but I've got one more passage. How many here remember Paul and Silas? Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas. We'll go through it real quick here. This is the last one. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the spirit left her. Verse 19. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, these men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. Verse 22. Verse 23, after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. Verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. That's the key. In the midst of their jailhouse experience, what were Paul and Silas doing? They were praying. They were singing hymns to God. Verse 26. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself, we're all here. The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Isn't that awesome? Oh my goodness, that's great, isn't it? In the midst of their jailhouse experience, what are Paul and Silas doing? They're praising God. They're giving God thanks in the midst of their hardship, in the midst of their lowest point. And as a result of that praise and thanksgiving, in the midst of their jailhouse experience, in verse 26, it says, there was a violent earthquake and the foundations of the prison were shaken and the doors flew open. Paul and Silas were rescued by the hand of Almighty God. And friend, I'm here to tell you today, you might be going through a jailhouse experience today. A tough, you might feel like you're in some type of jail in your life right now. Start praising God, giving Him thanks in the midst of it. Giving God thanks and praise in the midst of your jailhouse experience is the key that unlocks the door to your deliverance. Just like it did for Paul and Silas. There was two miracles here, right? What was it? What was it? The doors were open, they were set free from prison, and what else? And what happened? What else? The doors flew open, they were released, and the family of the jailer was saved. Two miracles with one act of thanksgiving. Isn't that awesome? I'm telling you, friends, that an attitude of thanksgiving, giving God praise in the midst of your hardship will attract like a magnet the blessings of God into your life. A complaining attitude, a murmuring attitude attracts the curse. A thankful attitude, a grateful attitude towards God attracts the blessing. It will bring you into God's promised land for your life. Is that good news here today?